Last week we were speaking to you about the Great Supper, and where I did not finish the lesson, I said that I would conclude it this coming Lord's Day, the Lord willing. I left off where the servant was sent out by his master to bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And he was sent to bring these characters to the supper. The ones that had been invited and had been bidden to come had refused to come. The master, being angry, sent the servant out to gather in these characters. I said to you that this typified the Jews rejecting the gospel and Christ sending his apostles after speaking to the Jews unto the Gentiles, the Gentiles being the publicans, the sinners, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. This also has reference unto the Church of Christ, especially when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper is held, then Christ, by the mouth of his servant, invites the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind to come to the feast. We find that this servant came back and spake unto his master and said, "It is done as thou hast said, but there is still room." This now typifies that the gospel, the message being brought by the servants, has not yet come to an end. We read in the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins that the door was shut and no one could enter in anymore. That is not the case yet in this particular time in which we live. Still God sends his servants out and he entreats sinners to return unto him. That is, there is yet still room for the greatest, for the vilest, and for the blackest of sinners. Christ invites sinners to come unto him. My hearers, how long have you been hearing this gospel message? How long has it been coming to you? Have you, like the Jews, rejected this word? If you continue doing so, then you that have been bidden so many years to come, you shall be shut out. You shall not enter in. This also typifies the glorious place in heaven above, where there will be a continual feast eternally for those who are given to enter therein. Oh, what a blessing if in this life we are taught by the Spirit of God that we are poor. I wonder if I have such characters amongst me that are so poor, that have nothing of themselves, that are bankrupt, that are so empty, that cannot bring anything to God that he would accept. Oh, they are so poor and so needy that they need Christ Jesus, who is represented at this feast. All those amongst my hearers who are poor, all Christ invites you, even in and through the medium of my voice, to come unto him. He has said that he will in no wise cast out any that come unto him. Oh, could I entreat you all to come unto him? Oh, what a terrible thing it will be for you, my hearers, to keep rejecting this message that's brought to you. Oh, it will be finally and eternally too late. Oh, are there any amongst my hearers that are maimed, that are halt, that are lame, that are crippled, that cannot come, that feel that they are unable to come? He has promised that he will strengthen you with might in the inner man, that you may be enabled to come unto him. Are you blind? Can you not see? Or do you need someone to guide you? He has promised that he will guide the blind by the way that they know not. Oh, this gospel feast is still open, is still being presented to you, and all may you be given that grace to come unto Jesus Christ while it is yet called today. My hearers, I will conclude this lesson with this and continue now with the lesson that we have for today. I do not wish to fall back too far as I did last year or so, and I had to skip so many lessons. Today we have a lesson about the prodigal son. The chapter begins, "And then drew near unto him the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And we read that the Pharisees murmured and said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." In this we have, my hearers, Christ Jesus sitting down with sinners. All these Pharisees, they looked upon Christ in a despising manner, in contempt. They could not understand how that he would mingle with such creatures. These publicans, the tax gatherers, those people that the Jews and the Pharisees hated. Sinners, notorious sinners, sinners who openly proclaimed what they were and hid it not from anyone. Oh, they lived a life of sin, and they revealed it in every action and every word. And they came to Christ. They came to hear him. Oh, what a wonder, my hearers, that Christ had a message for such creatures, that he did not despise them or turn away from them, but he sat down with them and he ate with them. These creatures, the publicans and sinners, couldn't get near the Pharisees. They wouldn't want to have anything to do with them. They turned away from them in disgust. But Jesus, he sat down with them. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers. Had not Jesus done that, there would be no hope for any one of us. He still sits down with sinners and with publicans, and he eats with them. And when he condescends to meet with us, then truly we enjoy something of the gospel feast. Then it is, "Eat and drink, my beloved," and we become drunken in his love. And where these Pharisees spake in this way, Christ began to teach them, and spake unto them a parable, and said that a certain man, he had sheep, and one of these sheep became lost. And he left his sheep that had not strayed away, and he went to seek this lost sheep. And when he found this lost sheep, he put it upon his shoulders and came back rejoicing and saying unto his neighbors, "I have found my sheep which was lost." In this parable, Christ teaches his own mission. He came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. And as a shepherd went out to seek his sheep and found it and put it upon his shoulders rejoicing, so Christ, he goes out seeking his sheep, those that God has chosen from all eternity, those elect sinners who are laying in sin, who are dead in trespasses and sins. He goes out, and in the hour of conversion he finds them, and he gathers them, and he takes hold of them, and he also encircles them and lays them on his shoulders, and he carries them. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, my hearers, if we may be one of these lost sheep. If he has sought us out and given unto us to experience that he loves us, that he has taken hold of us. Oh, true it says here that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 that needeth not repentance. Oh, what a blessing then to have that experience in our lives and to have something realized of the joy that there is in heaven, There is joy in heaven. There is joy upon earth. And even Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father rejoice for every sinner that is given to repent and to return unto God. Oh, may we all be given this true repentance. For this is what Christ is teaching over and against these Pharisees. They needed no repentance. They needed no returning unto God. They were holy creatures in themselves, and they truly thought they were going to heaven. And here Christ reveals just the opposite, that sinners and publicans would go before them. And where they expected to enter in, the door would be shut for them. Harlots, creatures who we and also others would have nothing to do with, they would enter in. We find him speaking another parable about a woman that had lost a piece of money. In this chapter, he is teaching my hearers repentance. This parable also is likewise like the first. I will not enter into that parable, but I will come to the one that we have as a lesson this day. And he spake a parable unto them, that there was a father that had two sons. And the younger son came unto his father and said unto him, Father, give me the goods that falleth unto me. We have here then a family, a father and two sons. We have here likewise one of the sons, the younger one, he's dissatisfied. He thinks in himself, if I had now what I had coming to me, I wouldn't stay here any longer. I would go out into the world and enjoy myself. I would leave my father and everything, and they'd never see me anymore. Oh, if I only had what I could get and what I have coming to me if my father should die. We see the spirit of this younger son. And this younger son, he is so bold and so brazen that he does not keep it to himself, but he goes to his father. His father had treated him in a wonderful way. He never had turned his son away with any request that he had brought him. He always had been a good father to his son. And now this son, he came with this request. And now this request put the father in a predicament. For according to the law, he was to give the oldest son the double portion. And the younger son was to get a single portion. But we read that the father, he consented, and he divided unto them his living. In this, my hearers, we have a lively representation of God the Father and of a child of God. And we have God the Father represented here. He created each and every one of us. He created Adam good and upright, and he placed him in a wonderful garden. He gave him everything necessary for life. He created him in his own likeness, in his own image. He was adorned as God was adorned. But it pleased Adam to transgress the commandment that God had given to him, forbidding him to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And in and through his transgression, my hearers, he forsook God. He forsook the fountain of life. And he left God. This is the case of each and every one of us by nature. We are all forsaken from God. We have left him. And we are in a far country. And we are living away from God, enemies of God, rebels to God. And we are trying to satisfy ourselves in this far country with the desires of the flesh and with the desires of our mind, living in sin, serving Satan, serving the world, and serving ourselves, trying to fulfill the pleasures of this life. This young son, after a few days, he gathered everything together And he went and left his father's home. Oh, how many young sons, and probably young daughters likewise, get fed up with the parental home. They cannot listen anymore to their parents. The admonitions, the warnings given to them in love fall upon a hardened heart, an evil heart, a wicked heart. And oh, how they rise up in rebellion, how they become dissatisfied. All done to them in love for their own good, but they realize it not. So many young sons and daughters, they get to a certain age and they leave their father and their mother and they go out into the world to live the way they want. They can't live the way they want home. They can't do what they want home. But when they're alone, then they can do as they please. And there they go, just like this younger son. Oh, how many young people do this. And my hearers, what happens to a lot of them? Oh, sad to say, they squander everything that they make. They don't have anything left, just like this younger son. Oh, he had a lot of money when he first started out. He had a lot of friends. Oh, yes, as long as you got money, as long as you want to enjoy yourself in this world, then you have plenty of friends that go with you. But soon the younger son, his money was all gone. He had squandered it. He had lived in a riotous manner. Oh, how many young people live this way? How many drink? How many dance? How many play with harlots? How many gamble? And all their money is gone. My hearers, have you ever done something like that? Have I a person amongst my hearers who had done that in his early life? But then I'm picturing your case to you. How many of these young people, when everything is gone, and they haven't got any more money, they're too ashamed to return back to their parents, what do? They begin to lead a reckless life. They begin to steal. And if they don't steal, well, then they begin to become hobos, tramps. That's the kind of a life that they lead. Some of them, they become so despondent and so disgusted with life that they commit suicide. Truly, there may be some that become men, that become women. I will grant you that everybody doesn't become that. But the majority of them do. This younger son, oh, he had a wild time. He had a good time in his own estimation. He was sowing the seeds of sin. And then when everything was gone, what happened? There came a famine in that country. There wasn't anything to eat anymore, even in that far country where he was. And he didn't have any money anymore. So he went to one of the citizens of this country, and he applied to him for work. And when he came there, this citizen gave him the position of taking care of his pigs, of the swine. You know, it was against the law for the Jews to raise swine. And here he had to take care of them. But that wasn't to his liking. You can make your mind up on that. And now he was so hungry, he was envious of the pigs, of the swine, because they had something to eat. These pigs were fed by their master, and every time this food was thrown into the box, then he looked with envious eyes at that food. Oh, if he only could eat that. If they weren't looking, he would take some and eat it. But the people that fed these pigs were standing right by. He couldn't eat. He didn't get an attempt even to eat. Oh, my hearers, what does this signify? This signifies a sinner, a chosen vessel of mercy who is living in the far country of this world. And he has spent everything he has. And my hearers, when he has spent everything he has, and he hasn't anything anymore, he's thinking about his father's home. But
He don't want to return there. Oh no. What does he do? He begins to go to work. I wonder if I have any of those creatures amongst me who under the first convictions of sin in their conscience began to go to work. Oh, they began to pacify this voice. They began to try to satisfy themselves in doing this and in doing that, trying to build up a righteousness of their own. That's what this young man did. He went to work. And every sinner that's quickened and made alive in his conscience, he begins to go to work. And my hearers, this young man, he had nothing to eat. He became hungry. He became famished. And that's true with each creature that's led by the Spirit of God. Oh, that creature, he can't satisfy himself anymore. Oh, there's a hunger here, and he don't know what it is. And there's a needs be to return unto God, and he's wondering what's going on within him. And he's trying to satisfy God with his works, with his duties, with his religion. And he finds that he cannot. And my hearers, under these attempts, this young man, it says, that he attempted to eat the husk that the swine did eat. Many a sinner under these convictions, he would want to go back and sin. He would want to wallow in it again. He would want to enjoy himself like he did before. But his conscience won't let him. He can't enjoy himself with the swine anymore, because every time he would attempt to do so, his conscience would speak so loudly that it kept him from enjoying himself in those things that he found so much joy in before. And my hearers, we find this young son, and when he's sitting there without anything to eat, desolate, despondent, all alone, he begins to think about his father's home. Oh, he thinks back home, oh, how good I had it there. Why, even my father's servants, they got it better than I got right now. I don't have anything to eat. And here I am, so poor, so ragged, so miserable. And I'm thinking, shall I go back to my father's home? Now this young man, he starts to think about his father's home. He begins to think about how good his father was to him, how good his father had treated him, how he had never done him anything wrong, but always good. In my hearers, there were many things running through this young man's mind. Oh, what should I do? Should I go back? Will he receive me? Will he reject me? Will he say to me, you spent all the money I gave you? Now, you're so poor and so ragged, you got your just desserts. I'm sure that maybe there might be one in my midst that was thinking this one time, thinking, if I should return back to God, would he receive me? Would he take me, the likes of me, such a sinner who spent everything on sin and on iniquity? Oh, my hearers, many things run through a person's mind. And I'm sure that this was running through this young man's mind. But finally, we read, and he came to himself. Oh, my hearers, what a blessing when we come to ourselves. You know, it takes a long time sometimes before a person comes to himself. Or he tries everything under the sun before he comes to himself. And now when they come to themselves, oh, then their eyes go open. Then they begin to see what a life they have led. Then they begin to say inside, it's all my own fault. I never should have left my father's house. Look where I brought myself. Look what I did. Oh, how I sinned. How I squandered everything away. Oh, I've done all this. And I have no one to blame but myself. And my hearers, the eyes go open for the goodness of God, how good God has been, how good this father had been to this son. Have your eyes ever went open for that? Have you ever seen how good God has been to you over and against the life that you have led, the sins that you have committed, what you have done against him, and that he never done anything wrong to you, that he bore with you, that he suffered with you? Oh, when a person comes to himself, my hearers, what happens? And then that happens, what happened with this younger son? What does he say? He came to the conclusion, I will return unto my father's house. Oh, he made up his mind he was going to go back, regardless of how his father received him and what his father did to him, he was going to go back. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. All my hearers, have you ever been there? Have you ever said in truth, in uprightness, I have sinned? All my hearers, it's so easy to say that with our lips. So many people say that. But have you ever said it feelingly, believingly? Have you ever said it with such deep emotion in your soul, I have sinned against God? My hearers, what a blessing when we are given to say, I have sinned. There always is with this confession that what this young man said, I am unworthy. Unworthy to be called a son of thine. Have you ever been there? Have you ever said, I am unworthy that God should have mercy upon me? Unworthy that he should save me? Unworthy that he should look upon me? With every true confession, I have sinned, is a feeling of unworthiness. Oh, I hope and I pray that every one of you, my hearers, may be brought to that confession. Truthfully, I have sinned, and I am unworthy that I should be called a son of thine. There ain't a more blessed feeling, my hearers, than to be given to do this. Believe me. You know, we always say, I've sinned, but oh, how seldom are we humbled. How seldom are we down in the dust. How seldom is our confession truth. God looks for truth within, and wherever it may be truth within, and then there will be a returning unto God, regardless of how we have lived and what we have done. We will be given a return. And I see this young man, I'm picturing him in my mind. I see him going, leaving the swine, leaving his master, and he's heading for home. He's on his way home. Oh, I hear him saying to himself, I wonder if my father will receive me. I wonder if he'll have anything to do with me. I wonder if he'll ever look at me if I get there. Maybe he hung back. Maybe the tears were running down his cheeks, thinking how good his father had been to him. And oh, what shall his father say now to him? Here he came back in rags. He didn't have anything. Oh, poor creature. And my hearers, what do we read? We read that the father was on the lookout for him. Day after day, the father had went to this particular place. He was looking to see if his son was going to return or not. And now he's seen in the distance this ragged creature coming. And all he seen it was his son. And he ran to meet him. He didn't go back into the house. He didn't tell his servants, go tell him not to come home anymore. We don't want him here. Oh, no, my hearers. None of that. Maybe you and I would do that if we had sons that done something like that. Maybe that's the way we would act in our anger. But God doesn't act that way, my hearers. No. He ran to meet this ragged creature, this father, and he came to him, and he fell upon his neck. And he kissed him. And his son, he began to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am not worthy to be called the son of thine. Did the father say anything about his sins? Did he say to him, oh, you lived an awful life. You spent all your money. You did everything that was wrong. Not one word did the father say to this young man about his sins. And did he accept his confession? Did he say to him, well, I'll make you one of my hired servants? No. He was a son. How could he be a servant? And this father, he kissed him. I wonder if there's anyone in my midst who has ever experienced this spiritually. Have you ever been given to return unto God? Have you ever come with a true confession of sin? Has God ever run out to meet you, threw his arms around your neck, kissed you with one of his love tokens, with his word, with one of his promises? Oh, what a sweet and what a wonderful experience this is, my hearers, that the grief and glorious God will have anything to do with such creatures as we are. And that he loves us, that he comes out to meet us, and that he kisses us. Oh, my hearers, one of these kisses is worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. For gold and silver, they come to an end when we die. But this love will never die. And this father, he called one of the servants, and he said unto him, bring out the best robe, and put shoes upon his feet, and put a ring upon his finger, and bring out and kill the fatted calf. Oh, my hearers, this father, he was going to have a feast, because his son had returned home. My hearers, by this best robe is meant the righteousness of Christ. Oh, God the Father has given his dear son Jesus for a righteousness unto every one that believeth in him and that hath no righteousness of his own. This robe of righteousness is spotless. Oh, it's so pure, it's so white. Oh, my hearers, have you ever seen anything of the beauty of this righteousness? And then all your righteousness have become as filthy rags, and that righteousness has become the thing that you need. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we find that the father also said, put the ring on his finger. That ring typifies the love of God, which is without beginning and without end. It also signifies the application of the Spirit coming and witnessing in our hearts that we are sons of the Lord God Almighty. And where they put shoes on his feet, that typifies that he would begin to walk in the ways of the Lord, walking on the way to that heavenly Canaan. And where they brought out the fatted calf, that typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, who was set before the Jewish people in all the sacrifices that they had under the old dispensation. So likewise, this fatted calf typified the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And my hearers, we find that the father took the son into the house, and they began to be merry. And now what happens? We find the elder son coming home from the field. And as he drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he inquired of one of the servants what was going on in the house. Well, the servant says, your brother has returned, and your father has received him, and has killed the fatted calf, and therefore they are making merry. What did this elder son do? Did he go into the house? Did he go to the son Did he kiss his brother and say, "Oh, brother, I'm so glad to see you"? No. It says distinctly in the Bible that he became angry and he would not go in. This typifies, my hearers, that this elder son was like a Pharisee. He became angry. And he said unto his father, "When this thy son has returned, who has spent all thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf for him. And I never have transgressed thy commandment, and you never gave me a kid to have and to make merry with my friends." This elder son typifies, my hearers, a creature that is angry with the dealings of God, angry with the grace that God bestows. And many have taken this elder son as a type of a child of God. I would go along with what I am just speaking about. I do not see in him any type of a child of God. He is angry, and he never transgressed any one of his father's commandments. 2 points against him, my hearers. And my hearers, the father said unto this son, "Son, everything that I have is thine." And that was true according to the law. "And this thy brother, who has been dead, is alive again. And who was lost is found. Let us then be merry." My hearers, this had taken place with the younger son. He had been dead in trespasses and sins. And he had been quickened. He had been made alive again unto God, never to die anymore. He had received spiritual and eternal life. Oh, what reason for this father to rejoice and to be glad. How glad would any father be amongst my hearers if his son or his daughter was wrought upon by the Spirit of God and was given to be made alive. How little we see thereof in these our days in which we live. How few they are who are chosen by God, who are wrought upon, and who are given to return as this prodigal son of whom we have been speaking. Oh, let us as parents unitedly cry to heaven above that God would look down in mercy upon our sons and our daughters, and that he would give unto them that grace that they may return unto him. Oh, it is God who will be entreated for these blessings, my hearers. My time is gone. I cannot continue any further with our lesson. The Lord willing, next week, we will speak to you about Lazarus. That's all for today.